We're going to be turning to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we're looking at the next verse. I'm kind of enjoying these psalms. It's really unique how they all tie together. The Psalm 119, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, and when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight. Lord, we just ask now that you'll just open our heart and mind to your word briefly here as we look at this passage of scripture. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness. And Lord, we're just excited to see what you're going to do this year. And as we get through the year, it's almost half over. And Lord, just help us to stay focused on you. Help us to stay faithful. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see there verse 5, we just dealt with verse 4 last week, I believe. "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." See, the psalmist, his divinely inspired exclamation is a revelation of the desire in the heart of every true child of God. See, he's no longer under the dominion of the carnal mind, which is enmity against God. We see in Romans chapter, keep your fingers in Psalm 119, but Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. We see there because the carnal mind, it says the carnal mind is enmity against God. See, the flesh, the carnal mind, the natural man is enemies with God. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." We're pretty familiar with that. "But enmity against God, which is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." We are no longer, as God's children, we're no longer subject to the things of this wicked world. And how is that? Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, he says, "I die daily." We need to die to self daily. See, now we can say with the Apostle Paul, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He talks about that in Romans chapter 7. We could turn there and we can look at that passage. It's a very good passage when somebody's dealing with... they've just been freshly saved. This is a very good passage to take them to. Because now, once we're saved, there's going to be some strife going on between our two natures, the inner man and our flesh. He says in verse 15, he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He's talking about that flesh. He's talking about the flesh that we live in. Sometimes we do things we don't want to do, but we end up doing them. Why? Because of our sinful flesh. "For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." What does it say in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9? "The heart is desperately wicked, or is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And that's not the full verse, but the principle is there. "It dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but the law how to perform that which is good I find not." See, in and of our flesh, when we look at this passage, we cannot do what God wants us to do in and of our flesh by ourselves. We got to have the power of God on our life. We got to have the help that he gives us to enable us. He says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For the good," in verse 19, "that I would not, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after, what? The inward man. See, we no longer are subject to the things of this wicked world. We're no longer subject to the things of our flesh. If we die to self daily and we turn ourselves over or yield our wills to His, then we're no longer susceptible to the flesh. Now, are we going to still sin? Yes. But it says in 1 John chapter 3 that we're not going to practice sin. Let's go there for a minute. 1 John chapter 3. I just want to read that verse. It just came to mind. It's a very good verse. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. What's that mean? It means that we do not practice sin. It means that we don't day in and day out continue to sin like we used to. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He's saying that we do not practice sin. The word commit means practice. So whoever is born of God doth not practice sin. See, we see there in Romans chapter 7, we're back there, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. But then he says in verse 24, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who? He realized that he has to deal with this sinful flesh. He realizes, as he tells us, I die daily. He realizes he has to do these things. But he says in verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So what he's telling us here, our life is going to be ruled by whatever we feed more. That's a simple way to put it. If you feed your spirit like you ought to feed it, like we feed ourselves, it's going to rule in our life. It's going to be the rule in our life. But if we feed the flesh, if we're not feeding, if we're starving the spirit, if we're not spending enough time in God's word and prayer and spending time with God, then our flesh is going to rule. Because there's a battle going on. But whoever you feed the most is going to win. So we see there that the days of being enemies with God and a hatred for His holy laws are forever past. Why? When we came to see that the righteousness and the obedience of Jesus Christ to this law has been completely satisfied, the justice of God, which He did, because it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, only Christ was able to fulfill that standard, and that standard was perfection. And that same gracious Lord who died under the curse of the broken law has been revealed by faith to our hearts as our ever-living, all-sufficient Savior. That's Christ. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. See, and we went over this morning in Romans chapter 10, 9, 10, and 13. See, the simple fact is we must believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths. We got to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And then there's confession with our mouths. See, we no longer have any desire to do those things we used to do, if you're truly saved. We no longer say, let us do evil that good may come. That's Romans chapter 3 and verse 8. We no longer do that. See, once we're saved, a lot of things do change. Our desires are no longer the same. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, something has to change. We have a new nature. See, Jesus took our sinfulness and gave us His righteousness. See, I wrote on the side note there, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, we need to feed the spirit more than we feed our flesh. But we still have to contend with that wicked flesh. We've seen that as we looked at chapter 7 of Romans. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from that body of this death? And thank God it was Jesus Christ. He gives us, enables us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. See, faith grasps on the fact that we are never fully removed from the power of this wicked flesh until the Lord Jesus comes back to get us. We never are fully, we're justified, we're made, being made right in the eyes of the law, we're being sanctified, we're being made more like Him day after day as we are dying to self, we're yielding our lives, we're committing our lives to Him and allowing Him to use us. We're allowing our bodies to be used for the Master's use. We need, as we yield. But John chapter 14, the fact that Jesus is coming back again, in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, or how can we know the way? And then Jesus answered him, he said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But he's going to prepare a place for us. We're going to be like him. See, when Jesus comes back, when we see him, we're going to be changed and we're going to be like him. Just as we are going through every day of life now, through the sanctification process, becoming more like Christ. When we see him, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, or actually start at verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." Well, that's just a... "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We shall be like him. And we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." See, this old broken down sinful flesh will be changed when either we die or go to be with the Lord, absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's just a twinkling of an eye. Boom, we're there. Or one day he's coming back for his bride. And we're going to be like him. We're going to be changed in an instant. We're going to be gone with these old broken down bodies. We're not going to be tired anymore. We're not going to be hurting anymore. We're going to be like him. The local church will be raptured. See, the Christian's hope is to see Christ and to become like him, which is not an idle pursuit. This is our hope. This is what we're hoping for. But as we're becoming more like him in our Christian walk, our pursuit of holiness and the use of means provided for bringing all our ways into conformity with God's statutes, which is through God's word, prayer, God working in our lives, it brings us to that point to where we're becoming more like him. The more we yield to him, the more he can use us. Again, going back to that same thing, what we feed the most will rule our lives, whether we feed our flesh or feed the Spirit. See, personal, private, or habitual prayer is one such mighty and effectual means. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In James, we need to spend a lot of time, more time in prayer. We don't pray enough. But in Psalm chapter 5, just turn to Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3. Psalm 5 and verse 3. Psalm 5 in verse 3. It says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." This is David, the Psalm of David. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer for unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, and thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." But we see there in verse 3 that David is vowing to the Lord. He says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, will I look up." Why is that? Because morning by morning, David humbled himself in directing his prayer to God. About all that concerned his life, God condescended to direct David's affairs and to deliver him in his distresses. David spent his time in prayer in the morning. He knew, God knew that he was going to be talking to David every morning. He knew when Daniel's prayed in the morning and at noon and at night. He knew it was something he did on a regular basis. That's something that saved people do. We spend time in prayer with God. But why was that? Why was David, it says morning by morning, David humbled himself in directing himself in prayer. But why was that? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. It says in verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." That's a big statement. We need to trust the Lord with all our heart. It says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." What's it say in verse 5? It says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Why was that? Because he trusted in the Lord with all his heart. And he did not lean unto his own understanding, and he acknowledged God in all his ways. And then it says, "He shall direct thy paths." God will direct our paths. See, God's guidance is promised to all those who what? Acknowledge him in all their ways. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's a big statement. But it goes back to the fact that David humbled himself daily, morning by morning, in prayer to God and shared his heart with him. And he poured his concerns out to him. He poured everything that was bothering him out to God. And God, he trusted the Lord with all his heart. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it's a real easy verse, "Pray without ceasing." That's by continual attitude of prayer throughout the day. Continually just thinking about people we need to pray for and lifting them up. That's acknowledging God. Acknowledging who He is. And see, when we fail to do that, which we can experience, when we fail to do that, we can experience a fatherly chastisement. When we're not doing what we ought to be doing, God's going to chastise us. So the Bible does say we need to pray without ceasing. It also tells us when we know to do right and don't do it, that is sin. The Bible tells us we need to pray for others. We need to pray for those in authority. I don't think we do it enough. I don't do it enough. The only thing that can restore our state of sinfulness is confession of sin asking forgiveness and repentance towards God. These things can restore us. As David prayed in Psalm 51 in verse 12, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." See, salvation is of the Lord. That's the unique thing. That's why it's funny when you talk to somebody and they think they can lose their salvation. Or they think, I heard somebody recently, and I can't even remember who it was, but recently told me that they could hand their salvation back to God. Well, guess what? When we do nothing for it, because Christ died for us, He keeps us, so there's nothing we can do to lose it, and then He comes back for us. See, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's not ours. It's God's. It's eternal life. It's everlasting life. It's something that we cannot lose because we never did nothing for it. How many hurtful falls could be prevented by an earnest use of prayer that the Lord gives His people? How many times could something been prevented if we would only pray more? If we had only prayed for so-and-so. Or how many more people could be saved right now if we would spend a little more time in prayer on our knees praying for them? How many? We don't know. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." See, we as God's people ought to yield our will to His will and be obedient to Him. We wonder why we have the issues and the problems we have, but we fail to yield ourselves to Him. If we truly desire to be used of Him, we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." What a good verse. "The Lord is my helper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But it says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We shall never fear. That's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. So we see, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." This is a saved man that's saying this. This is somebody who's changed, who's been changed. He's no longer under the power of sin. He's been freed, as the Romans tells us. We've been freed from being a slave to sin, and now we're a bond slave to Christ because of what He's done for us. But He gives us, what's it say in Isaiah chapter 26? In verse 3, let's go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." See, God's going to give us a peace, as He talks about in the New Testament, a peace that passeth all understanding. If our minds are stayed upon Him. And if we're praying like we ought to pray, we're going to be acknowledging Him. We're going to be going, be trusting Him with all of our heart. We're going to not be leaning on our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. We're going to be acknowledging Him. And it says, "He shall direct thy paths." It says there in Psalm 119, verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." God's going to direct our ways. If we acknowledge Him, if we, first of all, we got to trust, and then we need not to lean on our own understanding, and then in everything we do, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. We need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, unto thee. "He shall direct thy paths." Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Let's pray.